So your first question is, what would you like other South Dakotans to know about your district and your constituency?
Well, District 33 is one of the largest in the state as far as total square miles. It has coverage in two counties, that's Pennington County and Meade County. The county seats are both Rapid City and Sturgis. So there are several established communities that are covered in District 33. There's Rapid City, of course, Black Hawk, Silver City, and even Somerset. The district is mostly blue-collar. Tourism and logging are probably the leading industries in this specific district. Like the rest of South Dakota, the constituents here are concerned about increasing taxes. And we're also concerned about government transparency and responsibility regarding how those taxes are spent. Also, like the rest of South Dakota, the constituents out here are concerned about education of our kids, of course, mostly at the K through 12 level. We're keenly interested in local control, that is via the local school board and the parents, of all issues regarding public schools, teacher and staff salaries, quality of public education, and so on. Also out here, a big issue would be the Second Amendment rights. It's a big concern here because of the availability of recreational and commercial gun ranges and, of course, the wide variety and popularity of big game hunting out here in the Black Hills. That's a little bit about District 33 and the people that live out here.
Thanks for answering that, David. Would you like to discuss those three major issues or topics that you mentioned before that you would like the legislature to address if elected?
Sure. One cause of severe, widespread affliction in our communities is the methamphetamine scourge. If this problem hasn't already affected your South Dakota family in some way, then it eventually will, unless as a state and as a community, we give it some preemptive attention that it's screaming out for. I was interviewing Pennington County Sheriff Kevin Tome a while back. According to him, in four calendar years, from 2009 through 2013, where the data has been tabulated and published, arrests here in Pennington County for meth possession have increased by 700% in those 4 years. Although it's for Pennington County only, this alarming increase is actually statewide, according to him. So we have a serious problem coming straight at us. Crime will increase, families will be destroyed, and our children's lives will be permanently affected unless we begin to address the problem. Law enforcement and meth use prevention is only one way to fight this problem. We need to begin aggressive education in our schools about this dangerous drug. And then we need to develop other preventive measures and rehabilitation and recovery programs. Jail and incarceration of meth use is not the apex of this offense to the problem. I've spoken with more than one court judge who agrees that our tax dollars will be spent one way or the other. It'll either be on education or on prisons. And we need to be aware of that. So we'll have to address this problem, I believe, with prevention and education, treatment, recovery assistance, and then, of course, stiff penalties for those caught manufacturing or distributing this biological and social poison. So that's one of the issues, is that methamphetamine scourge. Another issue that we need to be thinking about is that affects all of South Dakota, and the topic I'd like to see the legislature address is retaining our college graduates, South Dakota college graduates, right here within our own state. As few people know, South Dakota's biggest export is its college graduates. Students who graduate from South Dakota's colleges and universities with degrees in medicine and health, for example, have programs, financial incentive programs, that encourage the students to stay here in South Dakota and to practice and grow into their new professional career fields. But the technical side, like science, engineering, mathematics fields, they don't have such incentives, at least that I'm aware of. And if they do exist, they're at a much lesser degree in size or in financial impact. The fields are of equal importance, in my opinion, and maybe even greater importance in the science fields when it comes to creating high-paying and high-quality jobs here in South Dakota. So I call it economic development, and the first most critical step is to retain our college graduates within the borders here in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. So as most of us know, there's little incentive for an engineering graduate from the School of Mines out here in Rapid City to stay in South Dakota after graduation, because the number of jobs available and the quality of those jobs is substantially less than in many other parts of the United States. So if we want to attract young people and young families, if we want to provide for healthy sustainability of our South Dakota communities, then we're obligated to keeping our young professionals right here in the state. I believe that'll be completed by offering financial incentives to those professions that are underrepresented and yet critical to the development of new markets here in South Dakota. A related problem that I heard about as I campaigned in District 33 was that bigger and bigger government is restricting the birth and the growth of local small high-tech companies, and that's related. Burdensome government, overbearing restrictions need to be brought under control to reduce the negative impact on local high-tech startups. So that's a second issue that I felt that we need to address in the legislature. Mm-hmm. A third issue, a little more controversial, I believe, would be that we need to address the behavior, or better stated, maybe the misbehavior, the lack of ethics that's being displayed during recent campaigns by public candidates and elected officials. I mean, it's becoming outright vile, and there don't seem to be any other words to describe it. This problem is more prevalent out here, it seems, in the West River District, although its problem is statewide and it's increasing in occurrence. Mm-hmm. A problem that we have in South Dakota is that our election laws are way too lenient. Candidates who run for public office have little to no boundaries when it comes to flinging mud at their opponents during political campaigns. And mud is a nice way to put it. South Dakota's election laws provide no real deterrent against a candidate who uses distortions, fabrications, and outright lies in distributing printed materials to constituents about their opponents. The problem is really getting quite bad. In several West River districts out here during the primary election last month in June, several Republican candidates for state legislative offices distributed mailings to the public, to the voters, that had zero regard for the truth. Even further, the mailings are now involving personal attacks against opponents, against their businesses, and even against their family members. These are lies, they're distortions, and they're calculated misinformation, and there's no recourse for the victims of the mailings, because they've entered public life by becoming candidates for public office. Mm-hmm. A little known fact in South Dakota is that people who run for public office are prevented from suing for slander or libel because they're public candidates. So these candidates who are sending out these false mailings, they're hiding behind South Dakota's lax campaign laws. They send local money and contrive misinformation to out-of-state political action committees, or PACs. These PACs then mail out the garbage information to local South Dakota households. The local candidates who use these PACs are then able to claim no accountability for the slime and the lies that are being distributed because the return mailing addresses come from outside South Dakota. It's a dirty trick, it's a nasty trick, but regrettably, it's a legal trick. The purpose of the mailings is very clear, and that is to misinform and misguide the voting public. It's a tactic that takes raw advantage of an uninformed and apathetic voting public. These nasty campaign tactics have been used repeatedly in my District 33, even by the incumbents, and in most other political districts in Rapid City and the Black Hills areas in the past several elections. It's getting worse, much worse. It's getting more slimy. It's getting more personally vicious with every election. It's mostly a problem, interestingly, in primary elections, and so far only with the Republican Party. The biggest problem with this type of candidate misbehavior, and this is a huge problem, and that is that it prevents or it limits inhibits young, idealistic, enthusiastic citizens from entering the domain for public service. And the people who use this tactic know it. The last thing they want is for new, youthful candidates or ideas to become involved in South Dakota politics. Other problems that are caused by these campaign culprits is that it negatively reflects on the integrity and the ethics of all legislators, all 105 in the South Dakota legislature. It undermines and it sabotages effective leadership in peer. It's a bullying tactic, and it needs to be directly confronted for the good of all of South Dakota. So what we need in South Dakota and in the Republican Party is, in my opinion, a commission that monitors public ethics, a committee that has the power to penalize those candidates or public officials whose behavior crosses the line of civility and simple civic respect. The penalties can be, among other things, in the form of public censure, expulsion from political party affiliation, perhaps even legal or financial penalties. I believe we need to remove the barriers that prevent honest candidates from suing unethical opponents for libel or slander during public campaigns. This would be another possible recourse against candidates who violate simple civil behavior. In the past, I've been an outspoken critic of these unethical campaign tactics and the culprits that utilize them. I've written and published public newspaper articles exposing the facts and attempting to get the public behind the effort to eliminate this trashy pestilence from our society. And it's beginning to work. Constituents are becoming angry, very angry, when they receive this trash in their mail. We're gaining ground against the trashy campaigning culprits, and I intend to bring attention to the problem in peer when I'm elected. I'll be doing this in the interest of public decency and to battle, quote, politics as usual, unquote. This will be a real war in peer because I will have some very active and very vocal opponents, but South Dakotans simply deserve and expect better and more ethical behavior from their elected and public candidates. I intend to deliver results to that end. Ethical behavior from our elected officials, personal accountability, public civility, all of these will be addressed once I get to peer.